Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will be finding common ground and taking it to the next level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. This show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. It's my hope that you will come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. You may or you may not agree with things that are said. What I'd ask you to do is keep an open mind. This way, you can see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Now, today, my special guest is Anna Dieter. Anna is an MA who's a qualified speech and language professional with over 30 years of experience in the field. She was born, raised, and educated in Russia. She's taught speech and language to public school students in Russia and the United States. She's treated many people with fluency disorders such as stuttering, stammering, and cluttering. And she's realized the traditional medical approach and treatment methods used by speech clinicians all over the world for hundreds of years cannot guarantee a successful therapy outcome. That's because they lack clear understanding of causes, mechanism, and treatment techniques of stuttering. Anna's professional curiosity and passionate desire to find a reliable treatment made her look outside the traditional approach. Today, she is a proud teacher and founder of the English Language Division of the 100% Effective Speech Education Program that is called Etalon for the Elimination of Stuttering. It's designed by a renowned Russian scientist. Since May of 2012, she's had a 100% success track record working with stuttering students who came to speak English as a primary or second language in the individual classroom setting of Skype. So Anna, how are you today?
Hi, I am great. Thank you so much. It's so great to be here with you, David.
Well, I'm glad to have you here. I was a little surprised at the beginning. I didn't hear the pre-recorded introduction, did you?
No, I did not.
Okay, well, I just winged it. At any rate, it threw me for a bit, but now we're on track, and I'd like you to tell me a little bit about yourself and when and how you became interested in studying to become a speech and language professional.
Okay, let's begin from the beginning. A lot of people are always asking this question about how did you get to do what you're doing now, and it all started, sure, in Russia where I was born, and it all started with my parents who were PhD professors at the University of Education in Russia, and just I was looking at them and learning from them, and because they both were educators, and I kind of the road was prepared for me. I thought I had to become an educator myself, and I did, and I graduated from the University of Education in 1981, and I became a speech and language therapist, speech and language teacher, and a special education teacher. And my first experience in the field was working as a speech and language therapist with children and adults, practical at any people with of any age. I worked with all kinds of speech disabilities, speech imperfection, let me put it this way. And yes, even back then I had a lot of experience working with people with fluency disorders, stutterers, here they call them stammering, stuttering, clutterers. Back there, we called them all just stutterers. So the bottom line is that even back then, I was really puzzled. How could you work with someone and help someone to eliminate stuttering when there is no information of what it is and what to do really about it. There were a lot of speculation about it, but nobody knew for sure how to do it and what to do and what for to do whatever we are doing. So anyway, that was a big puzzle for me even 30 years ago. And when I moved in 1998, when I moved to United States of America, I had this question on the back of my mind, and I started taking classes from Cal State Universities in Los Angeles, Northridge, LA, all kinds of colleges. I really wanted to find the answer. Maybe this American speech and language pathology, maybe representatives of American science, speech science, they may know better than we there in Russia, especially in former Soviet Union. However, the more I learned, the more I took all these classes, speech and language pathology classes, the more I realized that here the approach is even, and sorry to say that, even worse. Because if back in Russia we were attempting to find a way how to help people to eliminate stuttering, here there is a very simple approach. Actually, there are two approaches here. One is how to control your mistakes, manage your stuttering, hide your mistakes. And the other approach is just, you know, accept your mistakes, accept your stuttering, and be willing to stutter till the rest of your life. Then, they speculate, if you're willing to stutter, you're going to stutter less. So, and the more I dealt with this, the more I could not accept it. I felt like I was failing my work. Whenever I had to work with my public school students here in LA area, I worked for almost 8 years with public school students as a speech and language pathologist. And I felt that I was failing my job with this category of my patients, my clients, my students. So the bottom line, when I stopped working for the public school district, I actually wanted to do something that I would be really passionate about. And when I stumbled on, during my research, online research, when I stumbled on this amazing program in Russia, at first I was extremely skeptical. Because I, as all speech professionals, I believe that because you don't know what it is, how can you deal with stuttering in 3 days and guarantee 100% that the person would be stutter-free? I was extremely skeptical, but I started doing my research, and after I watched, I don't know, maybe 20, maybe 30 video reports on YouTube how easy it is, and the videos of my Russian mentor, they just show their results, the same person speaking before the three-day class and after. They don't show what's going on in between, but I see that the same person that could not say one word without stuttering at the end of the class speaking like, you know, you and me are speaking, like a normal person. And I started...
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, and I became very interested in that, and I have been doing it for almost 2 years now. And so far, again, 100% success in each and every graduate of the program.
That is wonderful. That must be so, it must be so gratifying to you and to your clients.
Yes, when I see my my students, at the end of their course, when I see their emotions, when I receive messages of gratitude from their relatives, because we do work with younger students, and we receive their parents' messages thanking us and telling us how greatly their life has changed after the class, this is what keeps me going. And this is exactly what I gives me strength when sometimes I'm ready to quit under the, how do I put it, when I receive a lot of hate messages from people that don't understand what I do. And,
really?
Yes, a lot of hate messages. And if I want you to understand why the messages sound like this. It's very simple because everything we do is kind of like follow the money. If I guarantee 100% that the person will become stutter-free forever, he doesn't need to continue his struggles. He doesn't need continuing speech and language therapy. He wouldn't come back to his therapist anymore. And that's what kind of breaks the vicious circle that all stutterers are going through, because they are told that stuttering is something that you have to work on your speech for your entire life. And they keep coming back to speech therapists, speech pathologists. And the interesting fact is that there are a lot of speech and language pathologists that stutter themselves. That's just their source of income. They have no idea how to speak correctly, but they teach stutterers how to stutter in an easier way. I don't know if you see what's going on today, and if a person stops stuttering, he's not going to come back to that stuttering speech and language pathologist anymore, and the speech pathologist is going to be out of job. So right
sure.
now, I'm not a big threat for them, because physically I cannot deal with a lot of students, and not a lot of them understand what I do. It's not easy to understand right away. It takes very few people to understand that before you enter any program, you have to study. You have to learn what you're going to learn in this program, and you have to learn what you are dealing with. For example, if you are stuttering, if someone tells you, I don't know what stuttering is, but sure, I will help you. So people have to learn to doubt these statements. They have to learn to be skeptical about these kind of statements. If, for example,
I have a couple
of doctor, yeah, if you come to a doctor and the doctor tells you, I don't know what kind of a disease you have, but sure, I will give you some drugs for this. Will you take drugs and expect that something is going to happen in your life? And you're going to become well? If the doctor has no clue what's going on with you.
Well, Anna, let me ask you a question. We had a caller, and they did not stay on the line. Are you willing to take calls from people?
I am willing to take calls from God, from anyone.
All right. Well, then let me put that out there to that caller or to anybody else. If you'd like to speak to Anna, call in. And I just ask you to be patient, because I will get to you. And what you will hear when you call in is the radio show going on. But be patient, and I will get to you. And then you'll have an opportunity to speak to Anna. Now, I'm interested, Anna. You have hardly any accent. When did you learn English, and has your background as a language professional been helpful with overcoming an accent?
That's a very cool question. I like it, because the moment I moved to the United States of America, it's been already 15 years, I kind of made a goal to learn to speak English the best I could. And that's been my goal for 15 years. And I guess I have accomplished a little bit of success here. And this actually proves that anything we do in our life depends on your willingness to put your effort into learning, whatever you're learning. And again, the point, it proves the point that our program teaches, that speaking is not a medical condition. Speaking is a skill that you can learn, and it is never late to learn. So, yes, I actually graduated back in Russia. I don't know how much you know, but back in Soviet Union, we had a great system of education. I cannot emphasize it more. It was a great system of education. Every child had to learn a foreign language there. And, yes, I did take, did study English language in school. But, you know, it was so many years ago, over 35 years ago, when I graduated even more from high school. And, yes, I did have a basic understanding of English. I could read and write in English, but I could not speak well, just a few words. So after I moved to the States, I had to start almost from the scratch. And that's what I did for 15 years. And also, yes, the fact that I am a speech professional, I did have some understanding of how is our speech is produced, and that it's all about the way we shape our sounds with only two moving organs that we have in our mouth. It's our lips and tongue, two groups of muscles, lip group of muscles and tongue group of muscles. And the way you move them is all, you know, the way you move them, that's the way you are going to produce your sound. So, yes, I know that my accent will never disappear, but it will become lighter and lighter, the easier and easier for me to speak with, because I am constantly in control of my speech. It's become a habit to be in control, not speaking, but to be in control when I speak. It is a habit that I have developed when I was young. Okay, that's normal for us normally speaking people. It is normal that the moment we begin speaking, we begin controlling our speaking actions. That's why even when we make a mistake in speaking, we naturally adjust to the way we are speaking. For example, if we speak too fast, we may stumble on a word, we may change the word around, we may change sounds or whatever. We may reconsider the way we want to speak. And that's what we do. We kind of pause and we go, wah, 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 wah. Let's slow down, okay? And we begin speaking normal. We begin paying attention to what we are doing. So that's my story with English language.
Very
and
good.
It helps, well, you love what I do. I love
you've spoken
what I do.
A lot. It's a passion for you.
Yes.
You've spoken a lot about learning today. Would you tell us what your philosophy on live and learn is?
Yes, sure. And most of the listeners have heard this old saying. It goes, live and learn, right? Have you heard about it, David?
I sure have.
Yeah, live and learn. This is not a bad saying. It's actually a lot we do learn from our experience. However, experience means that you a possibility of a mistake. And, yes, it's great to learn on your mistakes. And when you make one mistake and learn from it, it's great. But, unfortunately, today we have so many people that make one mistake, get up, dust themselves off, and start all over again, right? They begin making the same mistake. And until they make 10, 15 mistakes, they don't learn. That's why And it's really hurtful when you fall, when you hurt yourself, bump into a wall of mistakes, and it takes time and effort and energy to correct your mistakes. That's why this is not a philosophy. This is actually a common sense. Before you do anything, learn how to do it. And because I know that living our life is a whole bunch of our action. So, and it's a whole set of learning actions. Before you, I mean, living is acting. So you're born, you don't know anything, and the moment you are born, the moment you take the first breath, you begin learning. A lot of learning happens on our own. We learn it just by observing, by just repeating, imitating actions of others around us. A lot of learning happens by observing your teachers. So, yes, nobody has learned much without teachers, okay? And learning from the teacher is much a shorter way than learning from your own mistakes. That's why whenever you learn, you have to learn on your own, and you have to learn first from the teacher, on your own from your teacher. Am I clear? So you may have a teacher, but learning occurs on your own. Do you understand what I mean?
Yes, I do. Yep.
Yes.
Well,
so the
speaking
bottom line,
of...
I just finished this. Yeah, the bottom line is not live and learn, but first learn and then live. Learn how to hold the spoon in your hand, coordinate your muscles, and then begin using a spoon to eat. First, you have to learn how to coordinate your body. I'm talking about a child. Coordinate your body, how to hold your whatever head, then you hold your head up, right? Coordinate your body, how to sit, and then you are learning how to sit, to walk, to crawl, to speak, to write. Everything that we do, we first need to learn. Even thinking is the process that we have to learn how to do, how to coordinate our body to think. So everything is a learned process. And there is a certain set of self-education programs that we have to go through in order to become a successful person, prosperous person, and a mistake-free person. In this way, you just perform actions and you don't make mistakes. It's very simple. It's not a philosophy. It's common sense. And speaking is not...
Well, that makes sense to me.
Yep.
Well, speaking of learning, how did you learn about the Edelon program that you teach today?
Again, I actually have stumbled on it online, believe it or not. I have never met Mr. Snishko in person. I have never gone back to Russia to meet him. All our communication has been occurring online through Skype. And I stumbled on him over 2 years ago already. And since that, I have been learning from him. And I have gotten my kind of license from him to teach what I teach. Because the program that I teach today is his program. He's the author of the program. And... that's amazing. With today's technology, you don't have to travel to learn. You know how we used to think, oh, you have to travel around the world to see what's going on and to learn. You don't have to. You can just sit in your chair and learn in front of the computer. However, it's up to you what you want to learn. It's, again, your antenna that you have on, that you kind of, the information is out there. It's kind of like when we Google anything on the computer, you put a word in the search box, right, and you Google it.
Mm-hmm.
And you get information about almost anything you want, almost. That's why I'm telling that information is available. For any question, there is an answer, always. But it's up to you what you want to know. And if, for example, a person doesn't enter in the search box, if a person doesn't enter elimination of stuttering, but enters managing of stuttering, or, for example, how to manage stuttering, he will never know that there is an answer to how to eliminate stuttering, how to get rid of it. So it's all about us, human beings. Again, I just love telling everybody what a human being is. We are computers. We are biocomputers. But the difference between us and, let's say, a desk computer doesn't have a consciousness. He needs us to program, right, the computer. And we are the ones that program ourselves. We are the ones that have consciousness. And this is also
right.
part of our program.
I'm so, curious, is there any known reason for stuttering?
Absolutely. Known to us and known to our over 2,000 graduates from various countries in the English-speaking world, it's only a little more than 20 since I started. But yes, in the, how do I put it, in the professional world, mainstream professional world, in the medical professional world, there is no known cause for stuttering. There are a lot of speculations about the cause of stuttering, which began in at the end of 19th century. The first hypothesis about neurological cause for stuttering. It started in Russia, to tell the truth. The very first person who has come up with this was a Russian professor, medical professor. He was a psychiatrist. No, he didn't prove it. He didn't do any experiments. He just described kind of the behaviors of stutterers. And based on that, because he saw they were irrational behaviors, and that's why he assumed that that was a neurological cause. And after that, in the United States of America, there was a researcher who was not a stutterer. At least I have not found any proof that he was a stutterer. His name was Lee Edward Travis. So he was a researcher, and he was curious about what's going on in the brain when a person stutters. And again, he has collected a lot of stutterers. I mean, not collected, gathered a lot of stutterers, smart people, but they were stutterers themselves. And he kind of studied the brain activity during their speech. And yes, he has noticed that there were some inactivity in their brain during speaking. And again, he assumed that something was neurological because he didn't know what really was going on. So, and they spent a lot of years attempting to prove this. They did not succeed in that for very simple reason. They kept looking at stutterers. They did not look at normal people, how normal people speak. The reference point was never established. And that's what my mentor has done. Over 15 years ago, when he looked at this phenomenon, he started looking at normal people. How do normal people speak? And when he realized, he actually discovered a new natural law. That's a common sense again, natural law, that we cannot do two things at the same time. We have only one focused beam of attention that we can direct to this action or to the other action, but never at the same time. So that's where the brain inactivity comes from. When a person attempts to perform more than one action at the same time, the brain kind of pauses. We even call it a stupor. Okay? I'm sure you know what stupor is, right?
Yes.
If you go
yes,
to the dictionary, it's kind of like, the person doesn't do anything, right, at the moment. It's kind of like our computer when we push too many buttons at the same time. What does a computer do? It's slow, just doesn't do anything, right? It searches,
searches.
That's a stupor, too many things at once. And we, poor human beings, we do it all the time. We make ourselves do things at the same time, which causes a lot of stress in us. And again, every attempt to perform more than one action at the same time causes a stupor. The more things we attempt to do at once, more stupor conditions we experience, more stress we develop, more neurological conditions we develop. And that's the reason for, I'm sorry to say that that's the reason for our death, the death of the body, because we put too much on us. And again, back to the common sense, if you did everything, one thing at a time, then there is no stress, no diseases, no premature death. Very simple.
Fascinating. Now, how can you offer 100% guarantee that somebody will be stutter-free in 3 days?
It's, again, very, very simple. It's simple to me, but for people that read it first, they all scream, oh, this is a scam. Oh, it cannot be, because it cannot be. Okay? So it's very simple. If I asked you, David, right now, to learn the word in Russian, I would say the word clearly. How to say the word? Would you be able to repeat this word clearly right after me?
Okay.
Would you?
I'm following you.
Let's play the game, okay? I will say one word. I like
okay.
It. See, that's the way we always work with our students. We never give them answers right away. Because when
okay.
we work with them, we keep the way of their thinking. By the way, Roman Snishko likes to repeat, thinking is harmful. But that's a different topic. Okay. So I will say just one, whatever. I'm looking around me and looking. Okay. The word for in Russian for a bag. Okay, a bag, a purse. I'm looking at my purse. Here is the word in Russian, sumka. I'll say it again, sumka. Can you repeat?
Sumka.
That's it. You did it.
Oh, that's easy. Okay.
How long
well,
did
now
it take
I'll.
For you?
I just had to make sure that I was understanding that it was sumka and not sumka.
Yes.
But
and the reason
I will ask my mother what. I'll ask my mother how much money she has in her thumka and see what she has to say.
Right. And, you know, the reason you were not sure because you didn't see me. If you saw the way I moved my lips, it would have been a piece of cake. So now, from now on, if I asked you to repeat this word in 5 minutes, you may be not sure if you remembered it, right? Because when you say it correctly, you would have to use this word. And this is just the point I made to show it to you, how easy it is to do anything when you know how to do it. The same way we work with our students. We don't teach them words that they don't know. They actually do know those words, but they know them in the wrong way. For example, the word purse, I'm now using the word that's easier for you to remember and to operate with. The word purse, I would say 99.9% stutterers know the word purse as P-U-R-S-E. Do you see what I'm doing?
Yes.
I am labeling letters. P-U-R-S-E. Speak in letters.
Yes.
We do? Do we speak in letters?
No. But I'm seeing what you're... I think I'm gathering what you're saying.
Yeah.
That gets in the way and can create... Now, here I am stuttering. How's that?
You've developed a super.
Yes,
super
I did.
You were thinking and attempting to speak. That's irrational action, which our stutterers do all the time and do not even realize. And when we point to that and demonstrate how to do it correctly, they begin doing it, their stuttering disappears automatically because they begin to do it correctly, naturally correctly. It's not any man-made technique. We don't actually teach any technique, but we simply teach people how to do it correctly. I will give you a very simple example. When a teacher watches a young student writing, and she notices that his handwriting is really not good, it's not neat enough, maybe his letters are jumping up and down, maybe some letters are bigger than others, whatever, it doesn't matter. What does a teacher do? Does a teacher talk about mistake a lot or simply demonstrate how to write the letters in the correct way? A teacher may say, look at your letters. They look one big, one small. He may mention this, but the way a teacher would teach a student, she would just write it for him and tell him, can you repeat right after me, do exactly the way I did? And a student begins to kind of imitate the movements that a student just saw that the teacher did, and mistakes disappear right away because the student is focused on the way how to produce his writing movements, the movements of the hand, correctly, naturally correctly. And that's what we do with people who stutter. We demonstrate.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
I have a question, and that is, have you done follow-up on your students sometime down the line to see if they've remained stutter-free?
Yes, sure. That's what I'm doing now. Again, I would like to repeat that I have been doing it only for the very first student was in May 26th. He took the very first class, May 26th of 2012. So it's less than 2 years. However, I do this follow-up with my students, and I will tell you that some of them never come back to me, never. They just, okay, great, and they keep doing it. However, some of them do come back to me because they do what, for example, if I ask you, how do you say the word purse in Russian? Can you say it now?
Tumba.
See, you close, but not there. Tumka. See, you have forgotten already. And that's what
Tumka?
May happen. Tumka.
Ah.
Yes. You may forget. So the point
is... And I was so confident.
Yeah, see? And that's what they are. They are confident that they remember, but they may forget. Mm. And that's why the only requirement that we have for our students after the class. They have to speak. It sounds maybe kind of funny for you, a normally speaking person, because that's what you do. You speak all the time, right? But stutterers, they are very shy people, and they have taught themselves to be quiet, to be silent, to never initiate any conversation. Whenever there is a chance to speak, they would be hiding from this opportunity. And that's the break, kind of the change in your personality. Our stutterers must have to make a choice. So they have to make a choice to speak, begin speaking. Right after the end of the class, they all are kind of like chatterboxes. They speak, they're so happy, blah, blah, blah. But after the class, some of them, not all, but some of them, may begin getting back to their own old behaviors. They stop speaking. They stop communicating. And that's when the disaster comes back, because they forget, just the way you forgot how you did it. But with what's good about our program, that it's always 24/7 almost. They can come back to me and ask, Anna, I made a mistake, and I don't know why I made a mistake. And I kind of get back with them and ask them, okay, tell me what you did. Tell me what you were doing at this moment when you made a mistake. And then I see their eyes again. Oh, my God, I didn't follow this natural rule. I didn't do this naturally. And that's it. It takes 5-10 minutes. They're back normal. I remind them, hey, you're supposed to speak. If you are not speaking 5-6 hours a day, forget about speech. Forget about it. You will forget. I mean, you will forget how to do it correctly. And because I never hide anything, I always say the way it is, never hide. But, again, the difference between our program and all our programs in the world, stutterers are encouraged to speak also, but they don't know how to speak. They are encouraged to speak and learn. What we do, we teach them how to speak, so they learn and they speak and then speak. So basically, it goes with the statement that I made in the beginning, learn and live, not the other way around. When a person who does not know how to swim jumps in the deep water, he has two options: to survive by learning, like moving his legs and arms and surviving, or, you know, lose his life sinking because he doesn't know how to swim. You see the point?
Now, why do stutterers speak fluently in some situations and not in others?
It is very easy, but before I answer this question, I would like to mention the word fluently. The whole concept of fluent speech is such a wrong concept. When we say fluently, I've written the article already about this. If you go to Wikipedia, that's what I use all the time because it's the most trusted online source of information, right, Wikipedia. What you say there, that fluency is referred to the way people produce several sounds together, several words together, as fast as they can. So fluently means smoothly, but as fast as possible. Knowing now our main basic that we teach, that we cannot do two things together at the same time. How can you do something as fast as possible when you cannot produce even two sounds together at the same time. For example, if you do the word, I don't know, I'm trying, okay, hi, no, let's not do hi, because it's not going to be, ouch, okay, ouch, okay, short word. In order to produce this word, you have to make three movements, actually four, but I can do three, ouch, ouch, three movements, okay? Mm. And if you expect, stutter is expected to do it fluency, he is expected to say all three movements, to make all three movements of your mouth at the same time. It is impossible.
Mm.
Okay. So, back to your question, why some people speak fluently, not fluently, but correctly, kind of not making mistakes when they are speaking on their own or with pets or with other situations that they learned that they can speak without mistakes in. So the reason is that when you speak on your own, there are no distractions. You are 100% focused on your speech. You don't distract yourself. But when you begin speaking with someone else, you get distracted by looking at them, by thinking about something, by listening to them, by anything. And we cannot think and speak at the same time. It is impossible. What we can do, we can switch our focused beam of attention from speaking to thinking, from speaking and not actually thinking, to recalling of what we have to say. This is not thinking. This is recalling the right word. And when we teach our students, that's what we teach. We teach how to do it naturally. No tension, no stress.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the program itself. The hour is moving incredibly fast, and I have several questions left to ask you. First one is, what are the requirements for stutterers to be selected for enrollment in your program?
This is a great question, because it is, our program is true for anyone. To explain it, when you learn a young child to write, I like to compare writing with speaking because it's a very similar process, very similar, just different. When you write, you move your hand. When you speak, you move your mouth. The rest is very similar, okay? So anyway, when you teach a young child to write, it works because, I mean, you can teach any child to learn. And the same way you can teach an adult who doesn't know the language, for example, a foreigner, you can teach this adult to write in the foreign language. You can also teach an adult who never learned how to write, you know, some illiterate people that never learned reading and writing. You can learn this person in any age. The same is true for a stutterer. It is never late to learn to speak correctly. The proof for that is people after stroke, they may forget their words. They may forget how to speak. They may, after stroke, they may lose their ability to learn for a while. And then they still can relearn words. They relearn the way to speak. And we've heard many, many things about this. I mean, many facts about that. So the main requirement for every student who comes to us is, number one, to forget everything he's ever learned about stuttering. And
oh, boy.
Everything, because that's what I had to do, to forget everything. And but the main thing is to understand that speaking is not a medical condition. It's not a disease, okay, that you have to be cured. No pills will ever cure your inability to write, inability to drive a car, inability to speak. It's all skills. You cannot take a pill and begin writing, right? But for some reason, stutterers come to speech therapists, to psychiatrists, to neurologists, and take pills or take some kind of therapies, all kinds of therapies, to cure medically their inability to speak, which is immature speech. So again, number one, you have to understand that speaking, stuttering, is the result of incorrect, irrational actions. And when you do understand that, you are a good candidate for the class. So also, if you decide to come to us, you have to be ready to speak after the class, not to be quiet, not to be silent. Because if you are not planning to use your speech, then you better don't even start it. Okay?
Makes sense.
And there are some people that, again, expect a miracle, which we are not. There is no miracle. You learn how to move your hand, and you begin writing. Okay? If you don't continue writing, you will forget how to write. Your handwriting will become worse and worse. Eventually, you will, you know, forget how to do this and that. And actually, I'm even observing it with myself. I don't write much, and whenever I need to write, I type. I don't write anymore. I type. Every letter is separate. Yeah, because we type. Mm-hmm. We don't write anymore. And I forgot all these beautiful connections that they taught me in elementary school. I don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember how to do it.
Mm.
I mean, so that's the main thing. Don't expect miracle, and expect that you would have to work on your own. We are just, teachers can guide, but they cannot do anything for you. And again, about follow up. Again, 100% after, I even have videos now. I have one video of my students, three and a half months after the program. Then 8 months after the program, he actually made his own video. But again, every person is continuing to work on he's developing a habit of being in control 100% of the time. That's it.
Now, do I understand that the study course is individualized?
Absolutely. How can you teach an individual difficulty in a group setting? It's impossible.
That doesn't make sense, no. Now, how many hours of instruction, how much instruction is given over the 3 days?
Okay, it's never the same because we don't even look at the watch. We don't care about the time. We work for the 100%. And I doubt if you can find it anywhere in the world. So the way we work, it's just till our student gets it. So the moment you understand how to do it and begin doing it correctly, and when we see that there are no mistakes, our students at the end of the class must pass the examination. It's a final exam. It's an educational program. You have to pass a final exam with a teacher's approval, and then you are considered as a graduate of the program. And sometimes it's 4 hours a day, sometimes it's up to 9 hours a day. It's never the same.
Mm-hmm.
Because we all are kind of have our, how my mentor likes to say, all of us have our own cockroaches in our mind. So you kind of dig in and you see what misconceptions we have in our memory. Again, when we say mind, we actually label this word with a perfect definition, precise definition, mind means memory. It means knowledge that you have in your memory. It's a whole bunch of words, nothing else. Words, words, and words. And again, words are our programs for our life, for our living. The more words we know, the better our life is. Okay? So
okay.
Our mind, our memory holds a lot of words. Okay, but I mean, it's already a different topic.
I'm curious, how can people get in touch with you that want to take your class?
Yes, I am available on Skype. My Skype name is very simple, Anna Dieter. And on Skype, I actually communicate with people on Skype on video when they already are serious, when they have been through website, they have studied it, they know what stuttering is already, they understand what they're dealing with. So my website is www.livestutterfree.com. Very simple, livestutterfree.com. And I also have a lot of web presence on Facebook. I have several groups. The closed group is... has the same name, Live Stutter Free, three separate words. And the group that I have for anybody, not just stutterers, but for speech professionals that want to learn about this extremely effective method, 100% effective method, it's called Speech Mastery. It's open group for anybody. And I also have a group page on Facebook. It's called The Mastery of Living with Anna Dieter, that I was planning to use for the podcast that I'm kind of, I haven't started it yet. I started and then I simply don't have time for that for very simple reason. I am writing a book. I'm really now focused on writing the book so people would have
good for you.
Yeah, an easier way of understanding of what I'm talking about. In my book, I am explaining what a human being is, what our natural algorithms of actions are, what our self-education programs are that nobody can teach us but us. It's got to be very structured and very simple to understand, again, because English is not my first language, my primary language. I'm speaking in a very simple language. And I believe that's the true science should be. The words should be easy to understand, not kind of blurry. They have to be really precise words. And then the science will be true science, not speculation or hypothesis or shaman's fantasy.
Okay. Do you have a title for your book?
You know, it's a tentative title, Stuttering Solved. That's the title of all my video reports that I post on YouTube, Vimeo, anywhere. Stuttering Solved, because it is solved already.
Well, we are just about out of time. I would like to ask you if you'd be willing to come back again once your book is out.
100%. I'm willing to come.
Great. Willingness is the key, as you've said. So I thank you for joining us today, Anna.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. So once again, we come to a close. Now we can pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing of separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who are having a spiritual experience. Have a great week and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize.
You have been listening to Different Strokes for Different Folks to find common ground and take it to the next level here on Blog Talk Radio with David Clark every Friday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. You can listen to this broadcast again on srbroadcasting.com.
David, are you there?